No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Bears rookie minicamp starts tomorrow. Here's what I'll be watching out for and the players I'll be keeping my eyes on. Let's go.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.
What's going on, Bears fans, and welcome to another episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano. Make sure to like, subscribe, please leave a comment, and share this YouTube channel with a fellow Bears fan. Happy Thursday, everybody. Almost towards the end of the week, we've been having some nice weather. It's been great. It's also great that Bears football rookie minicamp starts tomorrow, May 9th. For the first day of 3 days of rookie mini camp. So I'm here to preview that. What I'll be watching out for throughout the time that I'm there at House Hall to watch rookie mini camp, but just also some of the players that you should keep an eye on and that I'm just going to be watching out for personally as I'm there at House Hall seeing some of these practices. But looking forward to kind of sharing that with you guys and just being here to talk some Bears football. And honestly, too, if there are players that I'm not going to mention all of them, definitely not. And I haven't done research on every single one of these players that's going to be there. And there's going to be players that we see at House Hall Friday, Saturday, Sunday that are not on my list of guys right now. But if there are any players that you're watching out for, shoot them my way so that I can maybe make notes of them as I'm there at House Hall. But we're going to get right into this. Got some things planned for the rest of the day. So I want to get this show out there nice and early, 8 o'clock start. For you morning people, I like to consider myself a morning person. I wanted to actually get this show out earlier, but, you know, I had to get the dog taken care of, things like that. But let's get into it. First, I just kind of want to start off here by kind of, I don't know, sharing what is rookie minicamp, essentially? Like, what's going on here? Like, what are realistic expectations and what can we expect throughout these next 3 days at House Hall as the Bears are welcoming in, obviously, their draft class, undrafted free agents, tryout players. So that's who's actually going to be there. And then actually, too, each team is invited or is allowed to invite up to 5 veteran players to try out. So that's who all is going to actually be there. And then, of course, you have the Bears coaches. But I would more so like consider this as I just actually visited my alma mater at DePaul to speak to some sports journalist students. I think of it almost like orientation slash a job interview, right? Especially for these tryout players, these undrafted free agents. Like, you're getting in front of NFL personnel, you're getting into an NFL facility, you're like meeting you know, equipment staff, you're meeting all the different groups in what is an NFL building. So there's a lot of, I think, just meeting people for the first time, but getting this kind of this idea of what being an NFL player could look like. So that's what I think is to be expected from these football players that are going to be invited these next 3 days at House Hall. But just looking at some of the guidelines, I guess, you get 10 hours a day. That's the league max over 3 days to be actually in the building. And then can, I think, expect, I don't know, anywhere from like 40, 60 players per team. And you're, I mean, again, the goal is to try to land one of those spots on a 90-man roster. Makes sense, right? So that's why I kind of view it. And I would think maybe the players that are trying out, like, it is a job interview. So you want to put your best foot forward, show that you can understand a playbook, a slimmed down playbook, right? It's not going to be anything that is super in depth. So I think you're going to expect a formations, coverages, route concepts, things like that. And I think you want to see if these guys can retain that information once they're in the classroom. And then as they go out to the football field, take what they learn there and execute it. Right. I think that's obviously going to put yourself in a better position to show that the physical talent that you obviously had because you're being invited. So that's kind of what you should expect if you're, you know, it's like even fans that are like, oh, rookie minicamp, what are we going to see? What are going to be the highlights? I'm sure, you know, the Bears will put out videos after every day showing some catches, some receptions, guys in shorts, running some routes and, you know, making some quote unquote highlight plays, highlight worthy plays. But Nothing too crazy, right? You also, especially at this point in the season, you're getting guys, obviously, that have maybe trained for the draft, who have trained, who have been doing that type of training and probably have reverted back to some of the football stuff, but it's not at their peak physical football shape. So you don't want to overdo it with these guys, especially your draft class, right? And a guy like Colson Loveland coming off the AC joint surgery that he had in January, you're definitely not going to push a guy like that. And I'm curious to see even what his rookie minicamp will look like. I don't even expect him to run routes or do any of that, even though he said that he's doing some of that stuff. I'm pretty sure the Bears will want to be very cautious with it. So, again, you're kind of taking it easy, but you want to still get enough out of these guys to see what it's about. Like, what do they look like movement skills-wise? And that's why, for me, as I'm just watching certain players, I'm curious to see up close and personal, what is a guy like, you know, Zay Frazier, UTSA, fifth-round draft pick, cornerback, look like as he's moving, right? Movement skills, as he's taking his drop, breaking on a pass, or, you know, in the drills that he's going to be doing with his position coaches. Like, I just want to see that up close and personal. You can watch it on TV. You can watch like game tapes. You can watch reps, highlights, all that stuff. But there is value of seeing it in person. So I do want to see what that looks like. Same thing for a guy like Ruben Hippolyte, linebacker out of Maryland, their fourth round draft pick. A guy like who ran really fast in his 40. Where can we see that speed in some of the linebacker drills? And some of the, whatever they're doing on the field. Like, you do want to see how these draft picks move. A guy like Ozzie Trapillo, right? Who's going to be making, and Ryan Poles has said this, starting off at left tackle. So a guy that has played primarily at right tackle the past two seasons at Boston College. There goes my Samsung watch. Moving over to the left tackle spot. So you also want to see that, just how he's moving. And see if it almost looks natural to him, right? And if it doesn't early on, it makes complete sense. He's switching back, and it's rookie minicamp. You're going to have these hiccups and things like that. So I do want to see that as well. Kyle Manungai. And that's the thing, too. There's going to be a lot of these players that are tryouts, undrafted rookies that are here. And when some of these guys do, you know, however they show up, just want to make sure I pronounce their names. Like Bears seventh round draft pick, Kyle Manungai. I literally just listened to, you know, just highlights, just to hear his name, the broadcast say Manungai. Seventh round draft pick, boom. But yeah, even seeing him through the running back drills, right? And there will be some undrafted and tryout players there as well. But does he? As a seventh round draft pick, how much does he stand out above those guys? Just simple things like that. And again, I think over the years, you kind of just know what to expect or what not to expect really from rookie mini camp. So you don't have like going with these super high expectations. I want to see all this, all that. No, like the little things in position drills, how they move, how they cut, how a guy like Luther Burden catches a football and then turns up field, right? Because he's known obviously as a guy that can create yards after the catch. How fluid does it look? How crisp are the routes? Simple things, you guys. That's what I'll be watching out for. A guy like Shamar Turner. I think the first thing I think of with Shamar Turner is violence. So this probably isn't the environment to really, really highlight those attributes, but you can still show it, like when you hit the bags, when you rip, anything like that, right? So you can still see some of these things from these draft picks, obviously, these undrafted players, these tryout players that can kind of forecast what does it actually look like in pads, in a game-like setting, in preseason, in training camp, things that will matter even more. But for the most part, I think these players are more so concerned about getting with a scaled-down playbook when they're in the classroom with the coaches, then taking everything they've retained, they've learned, that they're relearning. Maybe it's obviously different verbiage, too, coming from different programs, from, you know, D2 to obviously, you know, some of the best schools in college football. So even just getting the terminology down so that you can go out and actually execute fast on the football field. So that's what obviously I'm going to be looking out for. And still trying to see exactly what days I'm going to be able to make it for rookie minicamp, but I will be there. But those are just when I'm there watching. And I also don't know exactly what the availability will look like, if it's a full practice, if it's, you know, only a couple minutes of practice. I honestly, at this point in time, I can't even remember what last year's rookie minicamp looked like. I mean, obviously it was headlined by Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, guys like that, but I just can't remember the exact timing of everything. So I guess I'll see when I get there at Hallis Hall. Let's see. We got Brian in the chat here. Happy about rookie minicamp, but cannot wait for the O-line and D-line battles. The Bears did a good job of creating competition. Let's go bear down. I think that's one of the things I'm most excited about, especially in training camp, Brian, and I'm sure a lot of people can attest to this too, but watching some of those battles, now that you have better competition, just the level of talent on the interior of the offensive line, but also you have guys like Grady Jarrett. I just mentioned Shamar Turner, Jervon Dexter, a healthy, you know, Andrew Billings, hopefully. Like, I am looking forward to those battles. Also looking forward to the battles on the outside, right? Adia Odengbo versus Ozzie Trapillo or Darnell Wright, Montez Sweat. I remember early on last year in training camp, Montez Sweat was working Darnell Wright. So, yeah, just things that I'll be watching. We have Squeegee in the chat. Please remind Burden that Green Bay took Golden and thinks he sucks when you see him. I don't think, you know, honestly, Squeegee, I don't think I need to remind Burden of any of that. He's got, I'm pretty sure, it would not surprise me if later on the season we see a list of maybe the wide receivers that went ahead of him. It's not too much, right? It's not all that too much because he was drafted in the second round. But he probably has every single team listed down there and the receivers. It just seems like Burnham would be that type of guy. Let's be honest here. Just knowing that he believes he should have been a day one pick, wasn't a day one pick. Even that introductory Zoom press conference, you could sense there was a edginess to him. So I don't think I even need to remind him of that, Squeegee. But I'm looking forward to him, looking forward to watching him run routes, catch the football, just do those types of things. Like that'll be fun to watch. And then, yeah, like I said, with Colston Lovell, I just don't know. Probably won't see. Maybe they will allow him to run routes, but I just feel like they're going to be very cautious there. Not going to do anything too crazy. And that makes the most sense, right? You don't want to do anything during this period right now that's going to impact the future success of a top 10 pick like Loveland. So we'll have to probably wait and see on that one. Wait and see. And then actually Luke Newman really quickly from Michigan State. A guy that used to play tackle, got moved inside. I'm just curious based on drills, even like day to day, is it just center? Or are they kind of repping him in at guard spots as well? So just kind of watching that as we're seeing exactly where all these guys are lining up. Shamar Turner as well, right? He did play outside at Texas A&M at times. He did move inside. So anything that you're going to see in these next couple of days doesn't mean it's going to actually stick for mini camps and training camps, things like that. But we'll be keeping an eye off of that. We got Ron C in the chat here. Is it crazy to think most or all of our draft picks this year will all play during the season without injuries to others? You know what? I guess when you factor in special teams, there could be a possibility, but even look, if a guy like Zay Frazier should get some time on special teams, so I would see that. Luke Newman probably would be the guy that you don't see. Potentially, right? If everybody's healthy, you shouldn't see a guy like that. Not unless you, for whatever reason, maybe put him in on like a field goal unit. But other than that, I think you're right. Ruben Hippolyte should be a core special teamer. The one actually, so this is, I do want to bring this up before going to the first break. I believe Ben Johnson speaks tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, but I just kind of want to ask either Ben Johnson or somebody, just are you okay with Ozzie Trapillo if he doesn't start? You know what I mean? Like, they're going to compete for jobs, especially that left tackle spot. But let's say Ozzie just isn't quite there yet by the time they're, getting into week one. Are you just comfortable with that? A second round draft pick sitting, kind of watching, maybe being like the first option at a swing tackle spot, but are they comfortable at that? So I'm curious to just kind of hear their perspective and their thinking of it. And maybe they're expecting him to win the job, but they're also expecting Braxton Jones to come back healthy. Karan Amagaji, Ryan Poles, and Ian Cunningham, Ben Johnson are still high on. So I want to hear it from the head coach or even Dan Rochard, the offensive line coach. What are the are you okay with a guy like Ozzie Trapillo, if he doesn't win the job, are you okay with that? It just will be interesting to kind of hear their thoughts on it. But that's kind of something I was just thinking about as I'm kind of going through here and looking at these draft picks. But yes, obviously this rookie class is going to be the highlight or the main focal point of rookie minicamp. But there's also undrafted rookies that I want to get to and some tryout players. Not many that I have highlighted here, but definitely guys that, again, I'm keeping my eye on as I'm thinking about rookie minicamp. But before we get into some of those players and who those players are, of course, as you know, you got to tell everybody, and everybody should know this sponsor by now, but I have to tell everybody about my friends at Windy City Sports Cards. Look, guys, they specialize in buying and selling all things related to Chicago sports. Whether you're a diehard fan of the Bears, Bulls, Cubs, White Sox, or Blackhawks, they've got you covered with an extensive selection of sports memorabilia and collectibles. In addition to their Chicago-focused items, everybody, they also offer a vast collection of sports trading cards and memorabilia from your favorite teams and players. Visit their online store to find exactly what you're looking for to complete your collection or to discover a new favorite. You can check them out at 312-WindyCitySportsCards.com. That's 312-WindyCitySportsCards.com. You can also check out their merch. As you can see, I'm rocking this dope Windy City Sports Cards t-shirt. Super comfortable, by the way. And it looks great. Love the blue. Oh, look at this logo right here, too. Yeah. So check out Windy City Sports Cards. Also, guys, you've definitely heard me talk about them before, but I also want to highlight my friends at Protein 2.0. One, if you're looking for a protein drink alternative that's not like your thick protein shakes, this is going to be the guy right for you. I have the orange mango flavor. You get your 20 milligrams of whey isolate protein. You also get 350 milligrams of your electrolytes, 100% of your daily vitamin or B5 and B6 vitamins, and it tastes great. So this is the protein shake that I'll take every single time after a workout. But also, they also have a what they call a protein hydration drink, Smart Energy. So not only do you get your 15 grams of whey isolate, but 125 grams of caffeine as well. So you can get your focus going, but you also get your energy, or you get your protein, then you get your energy. So you can check them out. And look at that. I got the orange and blue flavor. Is it a Bears podcast or what? Wouldn't be if I didn't have these two flavors. But as the lower third suggests, available at Target, Amazon. And you know what, guys? I really like their message. It's just they have a simple goal there at Protein 2.0. And I'll read it to you. We created Protein 2.0 with one simple goal. Make it easier to get the protein and hydration your body needs without all the unnecessary junk. I think we can all live by that and actually be like, okay, no, that makes complete sense. So check out Protein 2.0. Awesome product. And like I said, every single time I'm out of the gym, I'm literally drinking one of those. Tastes delicious, and it's really good for you. So check out Protein 2.0. All right, everybody, let's get back into this, and let's highlight some of these players that I'll be watching out for during rookie mini camp that are not the upcoming or the draft class that the Bears have. And obviously, they're, like I said, they're going to be the focal point of rookie mini camp, as they should be, right? But there are also other players, too, that are going to be invited and that the Bears have signed that I think could, quote unquote, make a splash at rookie mini camp. And we're going to start with the two safeties that Ryan Poles actually talked about during his recent interview with ESPN 1000. And that would be LSU's Major Burns and Oregon's Tysheem Johnson. And so for Major Burns, and actually I did write an article on both these guys, kind of highlighting all their stats and everything that they've accomplished throughout their careers at LSU, but also for Tysheem Johnson at Oregon. So just to kind of, and you know, I'm going to pull a lot of stuff from that article I've already done, but Major Burns, for guys that, for people who don't know, played at LSU, 6'2", 207 pounds. He finished his collegiate career with 45 games played and ended with 209 total tackles, 10 passes defensed, 2.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, and an interception, and 1 touchdown. I do want to highlight that play too. But he originally started his career at Georgia and played 6 games his true freshman year, and then following the 2020 season, transferred to his hometown of Baton Rouge in Louisiana to play for the Tigers, and played 4 seasons for LSU. And the one thing that I will, because I don't want to read verbatim everything that I wrote in this article, but he has dealt with some injuries, and it started even early on. During his freshman season at LSU, he was named a starter during fall camp, but suffered a season-ending foot injury in the 5th game against Auburn.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
So that was his true freshman year at LSU. 2nd season, played in 9 games, started in 5. That season was again derailed with a neck injury he sustained in week 3 against Mississippi State. He did play the next 5 weeks. His junior season, he played in all 13 games and filled the stat sheet how I wrote here. New career high in total tackles with 90, 1 sack and interception for a touchdown, and 3 passes defensed in that junior season. It was against Wisconsin, finished with a game high 13 tackles, and against Missouri, Burns essentially ended the game with his 4th quarter pick 6 to give LSU a 49-39 advantage. So, playmaker. Then his last season had a dip in production. Senior year, finishing with 49 total tackles, a forced fumble. He had a turnover or forced fumble in the game against, who was it? Ole Miss. And that allowed LSU to kick a field goal right before halftime. They end up beating Ole Miss by 3 points. So there you go. Major Burns making a major impact. During his pro day, ran a 4.52 40 and finished with 37.5-inch vertical jump. That would have been the fifth best among safeties at the NFL scouting combine. So Major Burns, LSU safety. And why I'm going to bring up also Tashim Johnson, Oregon safety. You can also play some nickel, according to Ryan Poles. But just look at the safety spot right now, you guys. Before I actually get into Tashim Johnson, in my article, I kind of highlighted who these two guys would realistically be battling against. So that's going to be guys like Jonathan Owens, Elijah Hicks, Tre'Varius Moore, and Alex Cook. Those are kind of the safeties behind Kevin Byard and Jaquan Brisker. So there's like an opportunity. And I said like at the end of my article that most likely these two guys are fighting for a spot in the practice squad more so than a realistic option at the 53. The Bears had four safeties make the 53-man roster last year. So it's going to be tough to, I think, fit into that mold there. I think Jonathan Owens would be somebody that the Bears end up still keeping on here. And then Elijah Hicks has been, you know, a Ryan Poles draft pick in the seventh round out of Cal. And he's had spot starts here and there, has played obviously special teams, but I think the realistic option for both these guys is going to be a 16-man practice squad. But really quickly, let's go back up to Tashim Johnson, Oregon, 5'10", 195 pounds, 4 years, all at Oregon. 2 years at Ole Miss and then 2 years at Oregon. Apologize for that. He ended his college career with 53 total games played and made 262 total tackles, 10 pass defense, 2 sacks, and 6 interceptions. Let's go really quick. I think his time at Oregon, this guy was just making plays, especially later on in his career. He transferred his junior year to Oregon and immediately made an impact on the program, started all 14 games for the Ducks, 70 total tackles, a sack, 2 interceptions, and 7 pass defense. In the 34-31 loss to Washington, so he would have actually played against Roma Dunze in the Pac-12 championship, Johnson recorded a season-high 9 tackles, 7 of them solo, and had a pass defense. In his final college season, everybody, he started all 13 games and made 67 total tackles and set a career-high in interceptions with 3 against Illinois. He had a team-high 10 total tackles and a 38-9 victory. In the Big Ten championship against Penn State, he had 9 total tackles. So both those guys are not afraid to get down and dirty and make tackles. So those are some of the characteristics that I want to highlight with those two. But again, this is not going to be the camp that's really going to show tackling ability. How do you move in space? How do you retain what you got in the classroom and get into your proper landmarks? And, you know, I might not even get to see all of that, but those are things that probably will be more emphasized in rookie mini camp as we're looking at both of those two players specifically. Another player that I do want to bring to your attention, and we'll actually get to both these linebackers, Power Eccles, the linebacker out of North Carolina, 22 years old, birthday's on January 20th, 2003. So I mentioned that because, you know, he's going to be 22 for the rest of this year. So 39 straight starts, and he started after his freshman year. And then you just saw a guy that he just produces. So after that freshman year, he played in 2022, 14 games played, started all of those, 103 tackles, five tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 3 pass defense, and an interception. The following season, so this would be his junior year, 13 games played, 102 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, so a half more tackles for loss than his previous season. 2 forced fumbles, 2 pass defense, and an interception. And then in 2024, which is just last year, 12 games played, 76 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, half a sack, 7 pass defense, and 1 interception. And really quickly, Dane Brugler did have a write-up on him. And just reading some of those takeaways, he's quick to read the play and flow, and he isn't afraid to stick his nose in the blender to pull down the running back. He reaches landmarks in coverage and has shown improved recognition, although he will struggle to man up with NFL tight ends and backs. Overall, Eccles is durable and trusts his instincts, for better or worse, to get to the football. Although inconsistent, take-on and leverage angles need to be addressed. That's from Dane Brugler from The Beast, who does the best write-ups in the game right now. Again, when you're talking about these linebackers here. Testing for his pro day, 5'11", 234, 4'7", 340 time at the scouting combine, or 4'3", 7'3", 40 time. That would have been the second slowest 40 among linebackers. Only Iowa's Jay Higgins was slower. So not going to have the speed. And we know that Dennis Allen's kind of looking for that. And overall, honestly, he didn't test well in a lot of those combine drills. It's just wasn't his, that's just not where he excels. And that's where I think you see a guy that the limitations have a power Eccles from North Carolina, the linebacker. But to me, he's just a football player. That's what I kind of like as watching a little bit more of him. And again, watching some highlights too, notice that on his left arm, he had a play sheet. So green dot guy, I would assume, but those, what I mentioned his senior year, he had 7 passes defensed. So a little bit of a combination of what Brugler was seeing, but also what I was seeing, that he will get beat or let guys kind of get behind him in coverage, but he just has this kind of ability, or shown in the snaps that I saw, that he can recover just enough and time things where the football is about to be, you know, caught by a receiver, tight end, and then break it up or dislodge the football out of a tight end's hand. Some, you know, he has like those skills. It would be great if he was like in a better position in the first place, but he has shown that. So to me, what I put here, punches the ball, nice recovery and timing. He's timing up the pass and getting the PBUs, encouraging and not giving up on the play. I do like to see that. So I'm just curious to see how this looks like now at the NFL. The windows are tighter, but obviously you have a guy like Caleb Williams who, you know, he'll be throwing the football, and these receivers like that are even more, you know, prone to creating separation, and tight ends like Colston Loveland. So it'll be interesting to see a guy like that who I think does have some physical limitations, but can fill up the stat sheet as I was kind of reading off what he was able to do. So that's Power Eccles. I also like the name Power Eccles, linebacker, North Carolina. Really quickly, Squeegee, I see your comment. Speaking of linebacker, do you see Dennis Allen getting more out of Edmonds in his scheme, or is he looking for a replacement? With Edmonds, I think it'll be interesting. And I also, you know, just hearing Dennis Allen's comments about having Edmonds and Edwards playing interchangeably the Mike and outside linebacker, I think he wants to see what he's got there. But I think they're going to be enticed with Edmonds' speed and just, I mean, physical presence there, but we'll see. And I think we need to see a little bit more out of Edmonds, to be completely honest. This is another player. I already talked about him yesterday. I probably should have waited for today, so I won't even go super in-depth. Luke Elkin, the long snapper out of Iowa. Somebody that has familiarity with Torrey Taylor being his long snapper the past 3 years at Iowa. So that's another guy that I'll just be mindful of as I'm watching some of the special team snaps that'll be happening during rookie minicamp. But I did talk about him more in Tuesday's episode. So won't get too in-depth on Luke Elkin, long snapper out of Iowa, but he is on the radar for me as well. I put Jonathan Kim, the kicker out of Michigan State, I put him on here, but I fully expect Cairo Santos to be obviously the kicker for the Bears. But I just, you know, just read some stats here from Jonathan Kim, kicker, Michigan State. He played 2 seasons at Michigan State, finished his career ranked number 1 in Michigan State history in field goal percentage, 82.1, 32 out of 39 field goals, long of 58 yards, 1 of 7 career field goals of 50 plus. 42 of 44 with a 9.55 percentage on PATs. And then he also had 4 seasons at North Carolina. I feel like I've seen here and there with maybe with Bears fans about maybe wanting an upgrade from Cairo Santos because of the limitations maybe on his long ball. I can hear what you're saying, but I also just want consistency, man. Consistency and someone that's going to put the ball through the uprights. And to be honest, how many 50-yard-plus field goals are you even really attempting at Soldier Field, right? Let's be honest there. And you also play two of your games in the division. They have domes in Minnesota and Detroit. I don't know. Maybe it's something that potentially the Bears can look to want to upgrade. But right now, that's not, as I'm like thinking about these upgrades on the roster where they could do better, I'm not putting Cairo Santos there as like a major, oh, we need to find the guy with the biggest leg, or a bigger leg, I should say. Not the biggest leg, but a bigger leg. I kind of just like guys that make their field goals. Cairo Santos has shown that when it's not blocked. Man, I was just talking about that when I was speaking to the DePaul journalism class on Tuesday. I don't know why I brought up the blocked field goal. Oh, I was showing highlighting the differences a locker room could be. Like that game, you block the field goal against Green Bay, and then you have the game-winning field goal in Green Bay. What the locker room was like for the Bears players. So that's why I brought that up. Damn, I should have looked up the pronunciation. Jihadi Walker? Maybe I got that perfectly. But wide receiver, Texas A&M. He was another guy that, you know, honestly, if you're a wide receiver trying out for this team, kind of good luck with that. Because you're going up against a stacked room, a very stacked room. But also, you're doing that and you have to be a contributor on special teams. Absolutely necessity. And maybe you get stashed on the practice squad, but when's the next opportunity that you may get to get play? Right? Jihad Day? Squeegee? Appreciate you. But Jihad Day, Walker, wide receiver, Texas A&M, pro day testing, 6'2", 199, 4'4", 540. 6.71 three-cone drill would have been the second fastest at the scouting combine. So can move a little bit there. 2024 season, everybody, 34 receptions, 590 yards, 2 touchdowns. 2023 season, 29 receptions, 345 yards, 2 touchdowns. Before Texas A&M, played at Grand Valley State, 32 receptions, 651 yards, and 4 touchdowns. I think just the physical profile being a bigger wide receiver, I think my eyes naturally are going to go to a guy like that as I'm watching some of these tryout players, undrafted rookies, show what they can do movement skills-wise. So, I want to see a guy like that, how he moves at 6'2", 199. So, another guy that's going to be on the radar. I also have Xavier Carlton, defensive end out of Cal. In Dane Brugler's The Beast, he was edge number 56, pro day 6'5", 273. So he'd fit the physical makeup that Dennis Allen's looking for in his defensive ends. But 2024 had 47 total tackles, 9 sacks, and 1 pass defense. The previous season, 50 total tackles, 4.5 sacks, 1 fumble recovery, and 2 pass defense. And then 2022, 36 total tackles, 4.5 sacks, 1 fumble recovery. In 2021, he played at Utah. Just looking at some of his career highlights, he had 8 tackles at UCLA in 2023, so that is his career high there. Tackles for loss, he had 2 while he was at Utah versus Weber State in 2021. When you're looking at sacks, he had 2 against Wake Forest last season. Pass breakups, he also had 2 in a game versus UCLA in 2023. That game against UCLA, he was doing some good things there. And then quarterback hurries, he had 2. And he had 3 times he's done that. Last was against Wake Forest while he was with Cal in 2024. Talked about Tashim Johnson. I said I was going to talk about both the linebackers. Here's the other linebacker who's a tryout player that I'll be watching out for. Michael Batten, linebacker out of Houston. 6 foot, 222 pounds. 4.53 40 time would have been tied for the 4th fastest at the scouting combine. 10'2" broad jump, tied for the 6th best. And this is a guy in 2024, so last season, 94 total tackles, 44 solo, 3 sacks, and an interception. He started all 12 games for Houston, led the team in tackles each of the last 5 games of that season. 3 double-digit tackle games at Cincinnati versus Kansas State versus Baylor. 9 games with 7-plus tackles, ranked 9th in Power 4 and 21st in the FBS. Then 788 snaps played, including 116 on special teams. And that's going to be the key for any one of these guys. You got to be able to play on special teams or be willing to adapt to what it's like to be a special teamer. Before that, before Houston, he played at Louisiana Monroe, the Warhawks. 79 total tackles there, the 2023 season, 30 solo and 5 sacks. Also played at Nassau Community College in Garden City, New York. Played 9 games there. Was actually a quarterback. 67 for 101. Definitely not 1,010. 101, 747 yards, 9 touchdowns. Fun facts that they had just on the Houston website about Michael Batten. One word to describe himself on the field: relentless. If he could eat one food for the rest of his life, tacos. I resonate with that so much. If I had to pick, you had to pick one food for the rest of your life, and you have different variations of it, dude, you can't go wrong with tacos, man. Al pastor, carne asada. Cannot go wrong. So I agree with that, Michael. And then sports hero, Michael Jordan, pinnacle of all athletes. Bear. He's a bear. Practice squad bear. So there you go, Michael Batten. And there are a bunch of other guys. And, you know, what I was, so as like, you know, we saw like news, like, oh, the Bears are signing this. Like, I'll definitely keep in my like list of guys. But shout out to Aaron Lemming. If you guys know, he's a really great Twitter follow. But he has this list on his Twitter profile of all the guys. So I definitely cross-referenced any guys that I was missing with his, just to make sure I had, you know, my guys all squared away and the people I wanted to highlight. But those are some of the players I'm going to be watching out for. There's probably more. There's definitely going to be a lot more. And hopefully, as I'm there, people that I had no idea of will pop up and show up for this Bears team. And again, this is going to be a really tough roster to crack any spot on. Practice squad, 53, 90, any of it. But it's a tryout. It's orientation. Make the most of it. I'm rooting for all these guys. Like, this is, what's so crazy is, like, this is obviously the start of a lot of players' careers, especially that draft class. And it's not guaranteed for all 8 of those guys, but for this draft class, the start of their NFL career in the facility, on the field, working with the coaches. And then for a majority of those players that will be there, it's the end of their football career, potentially. And I always think about those things for these young guys who have been playing the game for as long as they have been, you know, putting up stats in college, or maybe were overlooked and beat the odds. Like, that's the reality of the NFL. And not everybody gets to have the privilege of being in it day in and day out and play. So rooting for all these guys, hopefully, you know, no injuries, go out there, do your best and see what you can make, see what impressions you can make on this coaching staff. You never know. Never freaking know. But yeah, you guys, that's gonna do it for this rookie minicamp preview. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Make sure to follow the Biggs YouTube channel throughout the weekend. I'll be posting content on there as I'm at Hallis Hall. And like I said, don't know exactly what days I will be there, but I will be there covering some of the practices, press conferences, things like that. So appreciate everyone for being in here today for this earlier morning show. If you haven't already, for the people that are here, like this show, subscribe if you haven't already. It was funny because I randomly just went on my YouTube channel and saw, like, how many followers do I have? And I took a screenshot. It was 69. I said, although that's a good number, or a nice number, we can still grow it, right? So you guys have done that, which is awesome. I really appreciate the support. So can we get to 7K? I could tell you we are really damn close to 7K. So, you know, a Bears fan, a family member, let them know. Send them this YouTube channel, man. Love to keep growing this channel. But everybody that's shown support throughout since I started this, you're the best. You're awesome. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, and I'll be back at some point throughout the weekend to recap Bears rookie minicamp. There'll definitely be coverage throughout the weekend. So I know you guys are going to be busy doing your stuff. It's supposed to be nice out too, so I don't blame you if you don't tune in, but there'll be Bears football Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Bears rookie mini camp. Check out this episode if you want to know about some of the players I'll be watching for. But also let me know. Shoot me a DM. Any guys that you want me to keep extra eyes on. All right, you guys. Let's end this show. Have a great rest of your day, and I will see you later on. But adios, Bears fans. Oh, didn't click the button.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans? Fans.
People want to hear me talk.